ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स फॉर दिस इवनिंग भगवद गीता क्लास। सो वी आर रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर नंबर 13 entitled Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness, text number 19. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam gheyam cha uktam samsata madbhakta etad vigyaya मद्भावाय उपपद्यते इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानं ज्ञेयं चोक्तं समस्तता मद्भक्त एतद् विज्ञाय मद्भावाय उपपद्यते। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: thus, the field of activities, the body, the knowledge, and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. Purport: the Lord has been described in summary. The Lord has described in summary the body, knowledge, and knowable. This knowledge is of three things: the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vijnana, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one. But the devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Now, to summarize, one may understand verse number 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani and continuing through Chetana Dhriti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body, or the field of activities. Verse number 8 through 12, from Amanitvam through Tattva Gyan Arth Darshanam, describes the process of knowledge for understanding both the types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the super soul. Verse number 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Matparam and continuing through Hridi Sarvasya Vishthitam, describe the soul and the super soul, or the Supreme Lord. Thus, three items have been described: the field of activity, that is, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and the super soul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. So for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal. the nature of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In other words, only the devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. Mukham karoti vachalam panghum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dhinatharina. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from the chapter number 13, text 19. This chapter, as it is entitled, Nature, Enjoyer and Consciousness. See, herein Krishna, of course Arjuna, in the beginning of this chapter asks various questions to Krishna, and in this series of verses in this chapter, Krishna is answering these questions one by one. So the various questions, as Prabhupada is summarizing in this purport, which are described, Arjuna asks about Prakriti, Purush, Kshetra, Kshetragya, Jnana and Gyeyam, the object of knowledge. So this particular section which we are reading, from text number 13, which we have been reading since past few days, till this text number 19, this is basically discussing about the Gyeyam, the object of knowledge. This is a very, very important section in the Bhagavad Gita, because after describing about the Bhakti Yoga in the chapter 6th to 12th, here Krishna is explaining the Jnana Yoga, how through Jnana we can understand, or we can, how Jnana leads to Bhakti. So that process is being described in this, the following last six chapters. So the connection of Jnana with Bhakti is being established. So more specifically, in this particular verse or the section which we are reading, Krishna is describing about the Gyeyam, the object of knowledge. What the object of knowledge should be. Because we see there are various subjects that are being discussed. There are so many universities having so many departments of studies. Like where I was studying in my college, there were almost like in an engineering college more than 50 to 60 departments. You go to medical colleges, there are so many different divisions, so many different departments, so many specializations, so many super specializations everywhere. Like hundreds and thousands of departments of knowledge are being discussed. So here Arjuna is asking about what is Gyeyam, what is the true object of knowledge, what is that knowledge which will help the living entity? What is its of its utmost to use to an individual? So that knowledge is being asked by Arjuna. Of course, we see about the tremendous amount of scientific advancement which has happened. There are researches being done on so many things, and the scientists and various learned personalities have discussing and deriving out various research studies, informations. So lots of information, or the so-called knowledge, is available. But what real knowledge is that Krishna is describing in these verses which we read from 13 to 19? So the real knowledge, as Krishna describes, as we were reading in the last verses, is to know the super soul, the Supreme Lord, the spirit soul, and the relationship between the two. That is the real object, the Gyeyam, the object of knowledge. Otherwise, we see in the material world, so much information is available. This is age of information technology, as we say. So much information is available. You just go to the internet and type any word on Google search. You have so much material information about anything under the sun. But if we clearly or if we analytically analyze it from the eyes of the Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures, what that information is bringing about in people's life? Is there any transformation of the heart or the consciousness? So this age of information is just giving us information, information and information, but not bringing about the transformation of the heart. That is, which is the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual literatures, as Krishna is explaining here, that I have described in the field of activity in this verse, kshetram, jnanam and gyeyam. And then Krishna in this verse describes who can properly understand that knowledge. That mad bhakta etad vigyaya, that it is only my devotees who can understand this thoroughly. And thus, what is the result of understanding this knowledge, the gyeyam, the true knowledge? The result that one obtains is mad bhavaya upapadyate, as it is explained here, that one can understand this knowledge thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. That means one is situated in one's constitutional position. So that is what knowledge should lead to. Therefore, we are saying that the knowledge which we are studying in the schools, which is being taught, is cannot be truly classified as real knowledge in terms of Bhagavad Gita, because that knowledge does not lead one to attain his real nature. So therefore, that is not, we do not deny that the research or the knowledge that is what is being taught is not of worth. But here, as Krishna is explaining, what real knowledge is, that which leads to mad bhava utpadyate. That means one, that which helps one to reinstate in one's constitutional position. And when one knows Krishna or the science of Krishna, he knows everything. We can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he was well versed in the scriptures, he knew about Krishna, and what was the result? He could deal with anything of this world. He could meet the biggest of the scientists, the big research scholars, the big doctorates, the big scientists, the astrologers, the big astronomers. He would meet, but he would be able to deal with them, tackle with them, because he knew about Krishna. One knows Krishna, who is the source of all knowledge, who is the source of all intelligence. One knows everything. One knows the real knowledge. It's like one time when Srila Prabhupada was in MIT, this is one of the famous colleges in the United States, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. There Prabhupada was, they were telling about so many subject matter which they discuss over there. So Prabhupada asked, so you have so many subject matter, do you discuss about Almighty? But they had no department of Almighty. We're discussing about Lord, the God, the consciousness, and our relationship with God. That is the true knowledge. Another point which Srila Prabhupada is making in the purport here is, that this knowledge is understood as this. Only my devotees can understand this. Mad bhakta etad vigyaya. And Srila Prabhupada comments on this, that only devotees can understand this knowledge. As one of our leaders in the movement, Devamrit Maharaj, he speaks when he discusses about this issue, that this knowledge of the scriptures or the revealed scriptures of the Bhagavad Gita is very, very state specific, as we call it. In the sense that it depends upon the consciousness of the individual. Like, for example, as contrast to the material knowledge or education. Like somebody may be a big scholar in his subject. Like in where college where I was studying, we had one of my professors in thermodynamics. He was like a very big, well-known professor, reputed professor all over the country. But in his personal life, you would see he would be engaged in all illicit activities and intoxications and gambling. But he had that hold over that knowledge of chemical engineering, thermodynamics. But this scriptural knowledge is not like that. It is state-specific. It depends upon the consciousness of the individual. Truly speaking, this knowledge or this jnana exists within every individual soul. It has to be revived within. So this knowledge is there within everyone's heart. We being individual souls, part and parcel of called Sat Chid Anand, that is eternal. Chid means full of knowledge. So originally, we are constitutionally eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. Unfortunately, being in this material world, our knowledge is covered. So therefore, to revive this knowledge or to understand or to truly grasp this knowledge, we need, beyond the academic understanding, something more. And that is, when we take to this process of Krishna consciousness, when we purify ourselves, when we purify the heart of the dirt which is accumulated over lifetimes of conditionings, so when that dirt is removed through the process of cleansing, then that knowledge is revealed. So that is the difference between the knowledge of the scriptures and the knowledge of this world. So therefore, when Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Etad Vigyaya, that only my devotees can understand this. So therefore, this also brings forth another point, that many times when we discuss about Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada, especially when in this month of marathon, when we go out and distribute Bhagavad Gita, since the Gita Jayanti is coming this coming Saturday, so this month we distribute out Bhagavad Gitas and other literatures. So people many times say, I have Bhagavad Gita, I have a copy of Bhagavad Gita with me. But when we say, you have this Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada, they would say, no, I have some Gita, I read at my home. But now, as Prabhupada is explaining here, that only my devotees can understand this knowledge thoroughly. So therefore, when we read these Vedic literatures, especially like Bhagavad Gita and other Bhagavad Purana, then the importance of the purport, the explanations which Srila Prabhupada has given us in this book stands very, very important. So this purport also emphasize how relevant these Bhaktivedanta purports are. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Deva Ki Jai, Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shinitai Gaur Chandra Deva Ki Jai. So these purports are very, very important and relevant. Like when Srila Prabhupada was also once asked that there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita already available. At that time, around more than 600 editions of Bhagavad Gita were available. Somebody asked Prabhupada, why are you writing another? What is the need of another edition of Bhagavad Gita when already there are more than 600 editions of Bhagavad Gita available? So most of the editions available at that time were not commented on by devotees. They were all personally motivated interpretations were there. Therefore, the desired result of that knowledge was not achieved through those literatures, the Bhagavad Gitas, which were not commented properly. That is very, very important to read this Srila Prabhupada's purport, who being a pure devotee gives or understands the heart. And we could see it by the results. Before this Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada commented on, there were many, many Bhagavad Gitas available in the market. But how many people could take by reading Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavad Gita and take to the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is the true message of the Bhagavad Gita? And we could see after Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, now more than like a number of millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita have been sold, and so many people's life have been completely transformed. So this the result itself proves that it is very, very important, and how only a pure devotee can understand the heart of Krishna, and then he can reveal that knowledge. So that knowledge has to be revealed. It's there within each one of our hearts. It has to come from within. And to come from within, as we discussed earlier, we need to purify our consciousness and surrender unto the process of chanting the names of God. Purify our consciousness. We have to approach a bona fide personality, an authority, who is himself a devotee. Then we can understand the true import, or true gyayam, as Krishna is explaining here. The true gyayam, the object of knowledge, will be revealed then. And Krishna personally sends his empowered representatives to give, to teach Bhagavad Gita. And also, he personally sets wonderful examples in his life, how it is only when we surrender, or when we inquire submissively and render service, then this knowledge can be understood and revealed. So now we will discuss one beautiful episode from the life of Krishna himself, where he sets an example how he approaches his spiritual master and receives this knowledge. And also, since Gita Jayanti is coming on this Saturday, when the Lord spoke on Bhagavad Gita, we will discuss an episode from Krishna's pastimes where this origin of Bhagavad Gita, or empowerment in one sense for Bhagavad Gita, came. So this is, we are reading from the Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada, where that episode where Krishna was, after killing Kams, he is in Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they also stay for some days in Mathura with him. And then later on, after some time, Krishna pacifies them and tells them there are certain duties which I have to execute, so therefore I have to, so you can carry on. They decide to go back to Vrindavan, and I will be back there after some time, after performing certain duties. So then Krishna is there with Vasudev and Devaki. So then Vasudev and Devaki, as was the tradition that time, they decide to get the sacred thread, or the Brahmin thread ceremony, for their sons Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna comes in this world and personally sets these examples. Otherwise, he is the Supreme Lord, supremely independent. He does not need to go through these ritualistic ceremonies or be trained under the acharyas. So he personally accepts the spiritual master, and Gargacharya personally comes and then initiates Krishna Balaram with Gayatri Mantra. And then, as it was customary, that after being initiated in the Gayatri Mantra, one has to live away from home for some time under the care of an acharya in order to be trained in spiritual life. So then Krishna and Balaram, they were sent under Sandipani Muni's ashram, which was the reputed school that time, in which is in Ujjain. So Krishna and Balaram were sent over there, and then there, to set an example, Krishna and Balaram wonderfully performed and learnt various arts. So we were discussing earlier what true knowledge is, but also we respect the various knowledges, or which is the sciences, which are being developed. So therefore, here also we see, when Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord, he is the Sarvagya, he is the one from whom all knowledge is being emitted. As Srila Prabhupada explains, the Bhagavatam explains, the ocean is the source of water in a river. Like, the ocean is the source of water in a river. How? Because from the oceans, clouds or the sun collects the water or evaporates the water from the oceans. So similarly, the cloud is created by the evaporation of the ocean water, and then the same water is distributed as rainfall in the form of, when it comes in the form of the monsoons, monsoon rains, and then the same water returns towards the ocean in the rivers. So ultimately the source is the ocean, and again it comes back. So ultimately the whole source is, the whole knowledge is coming from Krishna and Balaram. But to set an example, so that everyone would receive knowledge from the right source, Krishna and Balaram agreed to take the knowledge from a spiritual master. So that is very important, how Krishna and Balaram sets a wonderful example to receive knowledge. So they were in the Sandipani Muni's ashram, and as the Bhagavatam describes, they were learned 64 arts in 64 days. It's very interesting to know what are the different arts and sciences which Krishna and Balaram went through. I'll just go through some of the list, some of the arts which were learned by Krishna Balaram. So they would hear once from the teachers, and Krishna and Balaram learn all the arts and sciences in one day. One day, one art in the morning, night practice, and achieved perfection. So they are the supreme lords. So they exhibit their transcendental leelas. First of all, they learn how to sing. So I'll just read through the list, beautiful. How to compose songs, how to recognize different tunes. They learned the favorable and unfavorable accents, meters, how to sing different kinds of rhythms, melodies, how to follow them by beating different kinds of drums, how to dance with rhythm, the melody, different songs, how to write dramas. They learned the various types of paintings, the beginning from the village arts up to the highest perfectional stage. So all these arts were learned. They also learned how to paint tilak on the face. It's another art. And make different kinds of dots on the forehead and cheeks. Then they learned the art of painting on the floor, that is the rangoli and different arts. And they learned how to make a resting place with flowers, and how to decorate the clothing and leaves with colorful paintings, the full bungalow which we see in various temples in Vrindavan, and also we see in our festivals when we decorate the altar. So that art was also being taught there in Sandipani Muni's school. And then ringing, playing musical instruments, the art of ringing water pots, like the water is filled in different pots. We still have in traditional places that different pots are there, and somebody would play with that the wooden tong and play different musics. So that art was also being taught to Krishna and Balaram. They also learned how to throw water in the river or lakes while taking bath among friends. They also learned how to decorate with flowers. They also learned the art of dressing hair in various styles, fixing a helmet in different positions, how to perform the theatrical stage, how to sprinkle sandalwood pulp and water to produce a nice fragrance. So basically very, very practical arts which were required in day-to-day life were being discussed. The art of Bahurupi, that how to dress yourself that you can't be recognized, that was also taught. How to manipulate the puppets that which we see are not so famous now, the Kathputlis, those arts. How to play the string instruments, the veenas, the sitars, the puzzles, how to solve the puzzles. Very, very practical arts. The learn of art of reading books, from which even a foolish student can very quickly learn to read the alphabet and comprehend writing. How to rehearse and act out a drama. They also study the art of solving crossword puzzles. So different arts which Krishna learned. How to write or draw pictographic language. And of course a long list, we'll read some of them. They learned how to recognize valuable jewels. Study of soil, the geology, that also was taught. How to identify different herbs and plants, to extract medicines from different elements, and different various other arts. Psychology, dying of hairs, guessing what is there in someone's hand, art of telling what is written in someone's book without actually seeing it. Interesting arts. And a few other things. How to speak and understand the language of various countries. They learned the art of not only the language of the human beings, they could speak even with animals and birds. They also learned how to make airplanes from flowers. And Prabhupada gives the reference of the Pushpak Viman, which Lord Ramchandra used. So those Viman, the aerospace technology, was also being taught to Krishna and Balaram in one day. And then the art of various signs, auspicious and inauspicious signs, the matrix six, and also cutting various stones, the art of questioning and answering by poetry. Make poetry immediately and ask various questions and answers. Art of a psychiatrist who can understand the psychic movements of another person. So in this way, various arts and sciences. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, who were actually the reservoir of all knowledge of arts and sciences, exhibited their perfect understanding when they offered the service. At the same time, they were offering wonderful services, as we discussed. The process, as Srila Prabhupada is commenting here, is Mad Bhakta. My devotees can understand this knowledge because of submission, service and surrender. So that is the process of acquiring knowledge, as we read in the previous verses, the text 12, which begins with Amanitvam, the humility. Humility means submission. So Krishna and Balaram, being the supreme lords, they submitted in front of Sandipani Muni, rendered personal menial service. They would go out. We know the famous story of Krishna and Sudama going to the forest to get the wood. Surrendered humble menial services, pleased their spiritual master, helped him in performing the yajnas, getting the wood for the sacrifice, getting flowers for the worship, assisting the Guru Mata in various chores. So in this way, setting an example for us for all time to come, that if we want to understand this scriptural knowledge, the true knowledge, the gyayam, the true object of knowledge, which can transform our lives, not just the information, but the true transformational knowledge, then we have to approach these scriptures in the spirit of humble mood, of servant. Then this knowledge is revealed. That is how Krishna is teaching this knowledge, is teaching this through his own personal example. And then, after this whole learning of arts in 64 days, then Krishna asks, "For how can I offer, or Guru Dakshina, what can I offer you, my Gurudev?" Then Sandipani Muni, he was very, very pleased with Krishna Balaram. He says, "It is my great fortune to have Krishna, you who are the Supreme Lord." Sandipani Muni could understand, seeing Krishna and Balaram and their extraordinary abilities, that you are not common men, you are the Supreme Personality. But as it is the custom that the disciple should offer certain Guru Dakshina, the Sandipani Muni consulted his wife and asked her, and they discussed what should they ask Guru Dakshina from such exalted personalities. So then Sandipani Muni asked that sometime back my son died by drowning in the ocean. So can you kindly bring my dead son to life? And Krishna and Balaram immediately left for Prabhas Kshetra. They immediately started for the ocean on the chariot. And reaching the beach, they asked for the controlling deity of the ocean. They summoned the ocean, the in charge, the deity of the ocean, to return the son of their teacher. The ocean deity immediately appeared before their lordships and offered him all respectful obeisances, and with great humility, offered wonderful prayers. Then the Lord asked that some time back you had taken the son of my teacher. So I order you to return him. Of course, the ocean deity replies that the boy was not actually taken by me. It was captured by a demon named Panchajan. And this great demon generally remains deep in the water in the shape of a conch shell. And of course, so the ocean deity says that probably your son of your teacher might be in the body of Panchajan. So you can go over there and check. On hearing this, Krishna immediately dove into the waters and caught hold of the demon Panchajanya. Krishna killed him on the spot, but he could not find the son of his teacher within the belly. And therefore he took the demon's dead body, which was in the shape of a conch shell, which became, or that's how in this wonderful Leela, Krishna received his eternal conch shell, that is Panchajanya, which we see in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna blows this transcendental conch shell. That's how in this Leela here, Krishna gets this conch shell, which marks the beginning of the war of Kurukshetra. So then, from there, Krishna and Balaram started for Shamyamani, that is the residence of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. And along with Balaramji, Krishna arrived and blew his conch shell. And the scriptures describe the beauty of Krishna's touch, or the sound vibration which is emanating from Krishna's lotus lips. On hearing the conch shell of Krishna, all the suffering of the hellish conditions which were there exist in the hells stopped. Those criminals or those people who were there in the hellish planets who were suffering intensely, all those sufferings immediately stopped, and everyone was relieved of their sufferings on hearing the transcendental vibration of the conch of Krishna's, which sounded from Krishna's lotus lips. And all those oils which were being boiled, where people were being boiled, everything stopped and everything became very wonderful. That is the effect of hearing from Krishna, Krishna's conch shell, or Krishna's words in the form of Bhagavad Gita are non-different. When we hear Krishna's words, especially when they are coming from his pure devotees, that brings solace. That is the whole the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, was spoken to a man who was in crisis, Arjuna. He was completely, he was the most powerful, educated from the most powerful institute at that time, Dronacharya's institute in military training. But still, he was confused, bewildered, could not lift his even Gandiva bow, which he was well known for. So that situation, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And then at the end, when Arjuna proclaims that now my illusion has been dispelled, Nashta Moho Smritir Labdha, my memory has been revived. So that is the result of understanding or studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Or that is what is the result of hearing or trying to apply Krishna's words. So as soon as Krishna reached to the Samyamani, the abode of Yamaraj, Yamaraj, when he heard the transcendental sound vibration, he could understand that their lordships, Krishna and Balaram, had come. So he immediately came there to worship Sri Krishna Balaram, worship them, and begged that, how can I serve my dear lordships? So then Krishna explains that, please immediately return my teacher's Sandipani Muni's son, who had come to him as a result of his work here. And then Yamaraj personally brings the son of his Krishna's teacher. And then the brothers then immediately come back and bring the son to Sandeep and Imani. That time, and then they offer their obeisances and ask, can we do something further, my dear master, Gurudev? And then, very beautifully, Sandeepani Muni replies, my dear sons, you have done enough for me. I am now completely satisfied. What further want can be there for a man who has disciples like you? My dear boys, you can go home now. This is Sandeepani Muni's words. Very beautifully describes, the Bhagavatam describes, these glorious acts of yours will always be renowned all over the world. You are above all blessings. Yet it is my duty to bless you. I give you the benediction that whatever you speak will remain as eternally fresh as the instructions of the Vedas. Your teachings will not only be honored within the universe or in this millennium, but in all the places and ages, and will remain increasingly new and important. Due to the benediction from his teacher, Prabhupada comments, Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is ever increasingly fresh and is not only renowned within the universe, but in other planets and other universes also. This benediction of Sandeepani Muni, of course, Krishna is, any word which comes from Krishna is non-different from the Vedic literature, but Sandeepani Muni is blessing him, that your teachings will not be honored in this universe, in this millennium, but in all places, in all ages. And then Prabhupada comments that Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is ever increasingly fresh because of the blessings of Sri Sandeepani Muni. So therefore, wonderfully Krishna shows through this example how this knowledge is received through the blessings of the devotees of the Lord. When they are pleased with our service, then that knowledge is revealed. We have so many examples in the scriptures. We have the example of Sri Narada Muni. When he was in his past life as a son of a maid servant, he was serving the Bhaktivedantists when they came on their Chaturmas visit, and they were staying where Narada Muni's mother, who was a simple lady, serving them. And Narada Muni was also with her mother, assisting her in serving the Bhaktivedantists. And then when the Bhaktivedantists left, and of course by the will of the providence, Narada Muni's mother in his past life, the maid servant, she also left being bitten by the snake. And then when Narada Muni leaves for his search, that time also because of his rendering of service to the Bhaktivedantists and accepting their remnants, the true knowledge of the Supreme Lord was revealed unto him. So therefore, as this verse is saying, that iti kshetram tatha jnanam yeyam choktam samasatah mad bhakta etad vigyaya mad bhava upapadyate. The field of activity is the body, the knowledge and knowable have been summarily described by me, and only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain my nature. So the only process of knowing or understanding the Bhagavad Gita is to hear from the devotees and render service in the association. And then this knowledge, when we try to become devotees, then this knowledge can be fully understood and revealed. So this is this Society of Krishna Consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada has very mercifully provided, has given us a wonderful facility where we can also practice this teachings of Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees and render various services. So Prabhupada has not only given us his Bhaktivedanta purports, but he also has given us a facility where we can practice these purports and practice this process of rendering service in submission, in humility. And then we can, this knowledge can be revealed or can be revived from within. So that is the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada, his divine purports, and this wonderful facilities of provided we are rendering various services. We can render services in various capacities in beautiful this temple. So then this knowledge can be truly revealed. And also upcoming Saturday is the Gita Jayanti, when Lord Krishna personally spoke Bhagavad Gita. We will be having various programs. The two-day program will be there. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, and evening, 6 onwards, there will be the lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, 3 hours each, discussing the whole of Bhagavad Gita in summary. And on the Sunday also, in the evening, there will be a program from 5 to 8. And also, a Gita Gyan Yajna will also be performed, where everyone can participate in that Yajna, offer their ahutis or donations, and distribute this Bhagavad Gita and get this wonderful knowledge revealed. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there is any one question, we can take that. Otherwise, we'll close. So now we'll have Darshanarthi, Shayan Darshan Kirtan at 8:45. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.